Our scripture text this morning is taken from the Gospel according to Mark. Mark chapter 10 in verse 49 will serve as our text. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, "Be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you." Let's begin by reading the context of our scripture beginning in verse 46. Now they came to Jericho. As he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, "Be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you." And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "Rabboni, that I may receive my sight." Then Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your faith has made you well." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. Now we know from Matthew's account of the same event that there were actually two blind beggars sitting by the road, or at least two. Mark focuses on one of the two, calling him by name, Bartimaeus. This ought to teach us that the Lord certainly knows each and every one of us, spiritual beggars sitting by the road, that the Lord knows our names. All of the Lord's 35 miracles recorded in the Gospels were done for two purposes. I may be oversimplifying a little bit here, but we're going to narrow this down to two. First, to prove the authority and the power of Jesus the Christ, the Son of God. Notice he's called Son of David. Son of David, that is a reference to the promise that the Lord gave to his servant David, that the Messiah would be his descendant. That promise was always understood to be a messianic prophecy, that is a promise relating to Jesus Christ. And the truth of Bartimaeus' statement of faith would be proven out. So this miracle would be accomplished to prove the authority and the power of Jesus Christ and the truth of the fact that Jesus was not a pretender, but he was truly the Messiah, the Christ. The second purpose for miracles in the Gospels is this: to illustrate spiritual truth. And we have a beautiful illustration of spiritual truth here, that just as physical blindness renders men physically helpless and unable to support themselves, so too spiritual blindness renders men spiritually helpless. Now, back in this day, we didn't have this sort of safety net that we have here today with Social Security and various programs to care for those who are disabled. And so folks would be at the mercy of their relatives and at the mercy of those who are of the household of faith. We can presume, we don't have it actually spelled out as such in the text, but we can presume that this man, Bartimaeus, was not homeless, as his father was named, a son of Timaeus. And so most likely he was provided for under his father's roof. But life was not easy in those days. There were probably many people who were being provided for under his father Timaeus' roof. And Bartimaeus came out to earn his keep, as it were, to seek the mercy of those who might be walking by the road, that his support, his daily needs might be adequately provided for, and that he wouldn't be taking from the provision that is provided for others. Now we'll mine the riches of our specific text here for more applications. We have three beautiful applications which arise from our text that I think we can learn from. So Jesus stood still. That will be our first point. Jesus stood still. The reading of those three words is actually what called my attention to this verse. And I'd like to share with you some of the things that I saw, some of the beautiful spiritual truth that I saw in those three words. Secondly, Jesus commanded him to be called. And third, be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you. Now those words were spoken to Bartimaeus in days of old. But God, through his Holy Spirit, doesn't make sure that things be put down in the Holy Writ without a good reason for them. And so we can take these words to heart this morning. You, friend, can take these words to heart this morning. The Lord is speaking to you. Be of good cheer. Rise. He is calling you. And he's calling you by name this morning. First, Jesus stood still. What was it that made the King of the universe stand still? When Jesus walked down the road and he saw the Pharisees and the scribes, was it the length of their tassels that made Jesus stand still? No. Was it the majesty of the civil power of the Roman authorities that made Jesus stand still? No, it wasn't that either. But it was the cry of someone in need that made Jesus stand still. You know, Jesus had many works to do, and he was on his way to do them. The multitude correctly understood that. But they didn't understand, what they didn't understand was the compassion and the mercy of the Son of David. And so they rebuked Bartimaeus, telling him, "Hey, buddy, be quiet. This is Jesus. He's got important things to do right now. Leave him alone." In verse 48, the blind beggar was judged by men to be unworthy of our Lord's special attention. But God is no respecter of persons. Jesus is no respecter of persons. Rather, he is a lover of persons who stands ready to offer you grace to help in time of need. Are you a spiritual beggar this morning, standing on the side of the road, crying out, "Son of David, have mercy on me"? Well, Jesus will stand still this morning when he hears your cry, just as he did 2,000 years ago for Bartimaeus. Now, Bartimaeus was not blessed with physical eyesight prior to the time that Jesus healed him, but his spiritual vision was laser sharp. This guy had 20/20 spiritual vision. He believed the promises of God, and he knew that Jesus Christ was his only hope. You know what? Bartimaeus was never blessed with the opportunity to pick up the scroll and read from it and read the beautiful truths that God had for him, because he couldn't see it. But you know what? At a point in time, he heard it. He heard the scroll read, and he believed. And so when he had a need, Bartimaeus called upon Jesus for mercy, and Jesus stood still. Do you have a need today? The Lord is about his many great works. But even so, Jesus will stand still to hear your plea. Do you have a spiritual need today? I'll give you a newsflash. You do. You do, whether you want to admit it or not. Amen. You haven't arrived. Amen. So do we all. But it's those who see their need the clearest this morning that are going to get the greatest audience from the Almighty. Jesus will stand still to minister to you, just as he did aforetimes. Secondly, Jesus commanded him to be called. Bartimaeus had a need. Jesus heard his prayer and commanded him to come into his presence. Maybe you need to know God this morning. You need spiritual peace and the assurance that he cares enough about you, enough to save your weary soul and grant you eternal life in heaven. The Lord Jesus calls you to come to him today. Will you heed his call? Or will you say with King Agrippa, "You almost persuade me to become a Christian"? Now, we don't know if King Agrippa had another day after that. And neither do you. Neither do you. Or maybe you know the Lord, but when he calls you near, you're ashamed because of your sin. You're guilty. You rightfully have assessed your condition, a guilty sinner before a holy God. Well, there's a remedy for you too, Christian. Be honest with yourself and seek restored peace with God through repentance. You see, God's got this promise to believers. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Ah, but you say, "I don't forgive myself. I have trouble forgiving myself." Well, who are you to decide that you're not worthy for forgiveness if God has spoken and said that you are?
Amen.
Do you put yourself in the place of God? I should hope it not be so. You know, Bartimaeus did well to recognize his need and to cry out to Jesus. But if he didn't come when the Lord commanded him, he wouldn't have received a blessing now, would he? Now, if Bartimaeus had stood by that road and said, "Son of David, have mercy on me," and his friends, or maybe his so-called friends, who had given him some very bad advice, saying, "Don't bother the Savior." If they came and said, "Oh, Bartimaeus, don't bother the Savior, has many things to do today." Well, Bartimaeus turned around and said, yeah, you're right. I'm going to go back to my begging." Well, he wouldn't have come. He wouldn't have stepped out in obedience. And Jesus would have went by. And you know what? If Bartimaeus was fortunate to still be around, and Jesus came by another time, a second time, and Bartimaeus was standing by the side of the road, and he said, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And his friends came, as they did the last time, and they said, "Didn't we tell you to be quiet the last time? Keep quiet, don't bother the Savior." And he didn't come. This is all hypothetically speaking now. But you're going to get my point when I get to the end of it. Jesus would have walked by. Jesus would have continued. And now if he was fortunate to see him a third time, and there he is begging by the road, and Jesus walks by again, and he says, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And he looks at his friends, and this time they just give him the look. They're like, "We told you the last two times." And he's like, yeah, all right. I know. He can't see him giving him the look, but he senses it. He gets the point. He hears some mumblings and grumblings, and he's like, "Oh, yeah, all right, I got it. And he goes and he takes his place by the side of the road. And Jesus walks by. And then Jesus would have come by a fourth time. And Bartimaeus was to say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And they said, his friends, said, "Don't bother the master." But if Bartimaeus had finally come to his senses, and he says, "You know what? He's calling me. I'm going to come." He hears those voices that say, "Be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you." And he takes heed to the command, and he gets the healing, right? Now, if Bartimaeus had listened the first time, which he did, he gives us we have a very good example in the scripture of somebody who listened to the Lord's command the first time, he'd receive the blessing right away. Now think of yourself. When we cry out for help and we say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And he says, "Come." He commands us to come, and we come. And we receive the answer to the prayer. Aren't we blessed? But what about the times where he bid us come and we didn't come? And then we stayed in the same condition. And he bid us again. We prayed again. And he bid us come, and we didn't have the faith. We didn't come. And then the third time, he bid us come, and we didn't have the faith. We didn't come. And then the fourth time, he bid us come, and we came. Because we'd had it. Think of all the heartache we can avoid by coming the first time.
Amen.
This is the point I'm getting to here. Now Bartimaeus spared himself a whole bunch of aggravation and more difficult days by coming when he was commanded to come. Third point this morning. The Word of God says to you this morning, be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you. Be of good cheer, that is, put away from you the sin of anxiety. For it is written in the Scriptures, Proverbs 12:25. This isn't a Christmas scripture, but this is a good mnemonic, good way to remember it. Proverbs 12:25, anxiety in the heart of man causes depression. Now there are volumes and volumes that have been written about depression by eminent psychologists and psychiatrists. And God certainly works through these people to heal. But we have an absolute truth here written in the Scriptures. Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression. Anxiety, sinful anxiety, worry brings us to that place where we end up in the black hole. As soon as you see the ugly root of anxiety rear its ugly head in your life, when you start worrying about everything, when you start worrying whether God's going to take care of this or God's going to take care of that or God's going to take care of you, think about the times where he's taken care of you before. And then think about the times where he hasn't. And if you really think about it, the times where he's taken care of you before are myriad. And the times where he hasn't, goose egg. Needless anxiety causes needless depression. Therefore, be of good cheer. Instead, look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, who says, be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid. Rise, rise, rise to thank the one who stands still in the courts of heaven, to hear you in all of life's seasons and at all of its hours. Say with the psalmist, in your midnight hour, in your dark season, at midnight I will rise to give thanks to you because of your righteous judgments. Be of good cheer. Rise, he is calling you. Yes, Jesus calls men everywhere to himself. I hear this often said by skeptics, aka, that is also known as, people in blatant rebellion against God. A skeptic and a person in active rebellion against God are the same. What about the bushman who lives in an isolated part of the globe? What about the guy in the Congo who's never heard the gospel? Rest assured that the Lord will handle his case. What about the blind man who's standing by the side of the road begging? The Lord will walk by in his time and call that man. Let's leave that man to the Lord. Let's let the Lord call that man. For today, he is calling you. Why evade the question? Let the Lord call him or her. Today, rise, because he is calling you. Will you answer? Will you come? The Creator and Lord of the universe has stood still to hear your cry. But will you stand still long enough to hear his call? And will you then come when he bids you come? Rise, be of good cheer. He is calling you. May many find peace with the Lord Jesus Christ this morning through his gracious offer of salvation and the supernatural peace that he has left here, available in infinite measure, simply waiting to be received by his people. Lord, bless every person in this room and in my hearing this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.